Hey, everybody. This is Danny Chicago on Danny Chicago's Blues Garage on Orange 94.0 live from Vienna, Austria. And today we have a very special guest with us. Her name is Suzanne Hager. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. So Suzanne is a friend of mine that I've known for many years. I met her in some open mics, and I've met her at some of her events. I've met her at some of my events that she's come to. And hello, Suzanne. How are you?
Hello, Danny.
Nice to see you.
I'm good. How are you? Nice to see you, too. Haven't seen you in a long time.
Yeah, we haven't seen each other for a while. Yeah. So I was saying, before the show, I had lots of questions for you, but I don't like to ask the questions before the show because then I feel like I know it already and then I don't ask it later. So I have lots of questions for you. Some very personal questions. No, I'm kidding. So anyway, Suzanne is I would classify her as a jazz vocalist. Would that be correct?
Yeah, I mean, I would say I'm a singer who likes to sing jazz, but also other stuff. But
okay,
you know.
All right. But I would say you're mostly, when you perform, it's usually in a jazz sort of.
Probably,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you've been on my show before. You were on a show that I hosted to talk about women in the music business in Vienna and in general. And that was a couple of years ago, I think. But anyway, we've known each other for a long time. And the cool thing is Suzanne has a new CD that has a history and a story behind it, but it's ready to be released into the wild. And we're going to be talking a lot about that. We're going to be talking about her concerts and things that she's been doing. And so let's start by talking about your CD. So tell me about your CD, Suzanne.
Yeah, so it's my debut album. It's 10 original songs. I recorded them with, in total, 9 great musicians. Obviously, some songs only feature like 4 people, but some songs feature 7, but like in total, it's 9.
Okay.
And it's all basically songs about my life in some form. I've been writing them for years. Mm-hmm. I've had a phase where I wrote just a lot of songs. So, and then at some point I thought I really would like to record some of them professionally and like,
okay.
Yeah.
And this was a few years ago. Because it was like 3 or 4 years ago that you actually recorded the music.
Yeah.
And, it's probably a complicated story, but the fact that it's coming out now probably has a story to it, but we'll talk about that later if you want. But it's a lovely cover of Suzanne, I think, with the ocean behind you.
It's actually noisy, Lizzie.
Oh, well. Well, it looks like an ocean. There's waves. I don't think Noisy-Lizé has waves.
It does.
That is
the actual Noisy-Lizé.
Wow. It must have been a windy day that day.
Yeah, it is often windy there.
Okay, okay. And it's a very, very artistic-looking thing, and it looks very great. So we're going to be playing some music from that CD, and I think maybe to give our listeners an idea of what you sound like, why don't we just start by playing the first song on your CD. Okay.
Sounds good.
And tell me the name of it and tell me a little bit about it.
So the first song on my CD is called It Could Be You. And it's a ballad. It's about when you meet somebody and you're sort of falling in love, but you're sort of surprised that it's not complicated. You're surprised that it's so easy, and you aren't used to that.
Yeah.
And so it's about this feeling, basically.
Okay. Well, and the name of it is?
It Could Be You.
It Could Be You. So this is the first track on Suzanne Hager's new CD.
Just like that. without a complaint. I don't know how to fall in love with a loss less than a gain. I don't know how to fall in love just easy and true, just without having nothing to lose. I don't know.
That's Suzanne Hager here on Danny Chicago's Blues Garage on Orange 94.0. Normally, I do blues musicians, but I often have jazz people come on because, you know, jazz is kind of in the same, they're kind of cousins, I think.
Yeah.
Blues and jazz, they're kind of cousins, or maybe even brothers and sisters, I'm not sure, but they're definitely related. And I just want to say that that song, I put the CD on in my car because I like to listen to it in the car. It's quiet and I can turn it up and I can really concentrate on it. And anyway, it was just a nice feeling.
Mm.
And that song, I don't know, it could be you, but I don't know.
Yeah.
That's interesting. No, I just like the vibe of the song and the feel of it and the who actually produced it or mastered it or did all the...
So basically I produced it myself, mm-hmm. like the production, with definitely the help of my pianist, the pianist of this album, mm-hmm. Nico Leopold, and Philip Conrad mixed and mastered it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the whole, I know before I started recording, I didn't know if I needed a producer
yeah.
because a lot of people have a producer,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, but I didn't know at that point what I wanted to sound like yet.
Yeah.
So I felt like I need to figure that out first before getting a producer maybe in the future, because I wanted to explore.
Yeah, I think it's good to be at least a co-producer, especially on your first album, because you're just more, you're so close to it, you know, and you know how you want it to sound, and you have a sort of a vision of what the song should sound like, and that's what a producer does, you know, is it takes that vision and then makes it into a reality. And so it was really, really, really well done. Now, you wrote that song?
Yes, together also with the pianist. So, yeah, that was also like a co-production in terms of, from all songs, I wrote the lyrics and the melody of all songs.
Oh.
And some songs I also wrote the chords. Some songs I didn't write the chords. I basically kind of wrote the chords, but together with another musician.
Okay.
And experimenting with a musician. But lyrics and melody are always from me.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you said that these a lot of these songs are personal in terms of your own personal life. And those are always the best songs because they come from your heart. And they're often, I hate to say it, but they're often, if they're based on your own experience, you tend to write songs when you're sad.
Yeah, that's
when
true.
When things aren't going
that's
right,
so,
you know?
So true.
There's not a lot of songs about, I'm just so happy and blah, blah, blah. It's always like, oh, my boyfriend left me, or I don't know where I'm going in life, whatever, whatever lament that you have at the time. And those kind of songs come out, I think, easier then, because
you have to have some strong emotional motivator. And oftentimes, kind of sadness or fear or frustration or anger is stronger somehow than happiness.
Yeah.
Weirdly.
It's weird, isn't it?
But for me also, most of my songs, even if some of them are about maybe a little bit sad topics, some of them might be, but they usually have some hopefulness in them.
Okay.
Like that's just what's important for me, because it's like very...
A spiritual
process as well. And then you have this kind of, you sometimes through songwriting see things from a different angle, maybe, as you would have seen them otherwise.
Right. And I like what you said about usually there's a little glimmer of, you know, hope in that even in these bad times, I'm going to be strong and blah, 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 blah. So anyway, just from a listener's point of view, just listening to the... Sometimes you don't even have to listen to the song or the words. You just feel it. You know, you just get a feeling.
Yeah.
Which I always tell people. They say, "What's jazz?" And I said, "It's a feeling. It's not. It's about if someone plays something, it makes you feel something."
Yeah.
And when you hear jazz, you just kind of feel cool and a little bit sort of not intellectual, but you know, it's like it's a higher level of listening.
I mean, jazz is also like a very broad
musical field, but it's always, to me, it's always about the feeling. That's why I love to go to jazz sessions where people will sing standards that you've heard a million times. But that's not the point. The point is how they interpret it and how they voice it and how they phrase it and, you know, and the feeling that you get from it. That's so important. I want to touch on something that you are known for, and that is female empowerment in the music scene, not only here in Vienna, but in general. And one of the first times I met you, you were doing one of your concerts called Ladies First.
Yeah, Ladies First Sessions.
Yeah, tell me about the Ladies First Sessions.
So it was a monthly event for 3 years. I hosted it. I've been going to jam sessions in Vienna for many years before that. And I really loved going to jam sessions, but what bothered me was that there was usually 90% men on stage. And usually when there was a woman, it was the singer. But very few times it was female musicians with instruments on stage. Okay. Especially in these kind of sessions. You know, there's two types of sessions. There's like open mics where it's like one person singing their own songs with their guitar or something.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about jam sessions where it's actually several people spontaneously doing something together, whether it's total freestyle or it's doing standards or it's a funk soul session or whatever,
right,
you know,
right.
or a blues session, where it's just different people on the stage coming together and doing something completely spontaneously. And that had always a lot of magic in it for me because, it's just something very special.
When,
But I sometimes just got a bit frustrated with so much male energy on stage. And I thought, it's a shame because I know so many great female musicians and I would like to play with them, not just only with men all the time. And I would also like for people to see them more. And now, I mean, it's a few years back that I stopped doing the ladies' sessions. I did them for 3 years. But now it's different a little bit. Now it's already kind of opened up a little bit more, I feel. Still not, still far away from being equal.
Yeah.
But yeah, at my sessions, the concept was an all-female band always opening, doing a little concert of different genres.
Yeah.
As you know, we had jazz, we had pop, we had rock, we had,
you had all sorts of genres. You had the band called...
Wolverine.
Wolverine, yes. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. And that was amazing.
Yeah.
All of your sessions were amazing.
Yeah. Danny was a frequent guest, which I really appreciated because there weren't so many men coming frequently to it. But it was basically after the opening set, it was open for men and women on stage, but with females first. So if a female guitarist was there and a male guitarist, the lady could come on stage first if she wanted to.
I get it. And I think that was such a great idea. And there was so much good music. Now, I want to play a song from your CD that maybe some female musicians played on. Could you tell me which number?
So basically all songs, the drummer is Maria Petrova.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you know her. She's a really, actually quite famous drummer in Austria. She's really, really great. So she's playing on all songs. There's also Lucy Landimore on vibraphone on some songs. For instance, actually at the Gotta See a Woman Fly, we could play that if you want. It actually would fit perfectly to the topic we just talked about.
I think
about. Yeah.
And which, which number is it?
It's number six. So
number
there's
six.
Lucy playing on it, there's Maria, and there's my two backing vocalists who are also amazing, Miriam Kulma and Yasmin Motamen.
So, oh, wow, nice. So this sort of fits the theme of what we've been talking about.
Yeah.
And we'll talk a little bit more about your initiative to get women more involved in performing. And so we're going to play this song called Gotta See a Woman Fly. That's a great title. Is it obvious what it's about? Is it?
Kind of, I guess. I mean, but it's not. It's about female empowerment, to make it short, but it's also about some fears that women sometimes might feel, but that we should, in any case, support each other.
Okay, well, this is a song from my guest, Suzanne Hager, who is releasing a new CD. The name of the CD is Magic?
Yeah, it's Magic, and it's got a little subtitle, which is What is Life Without the Unexplainable?
What is life without the unexplainable? Wow, I'm going to get a headache thinking about that. That's
deep.
That's very, yeah, anyway, it's great. And so here's the song. And Suzanne Hager, Gotta See a Woman Fly.
Didn't know what to gain. You could see her beauty in she rely on what makes her come out of her cage. All she wants is freedom from many bonds holding her back. She's so close to the edge, got a jump, she's back on track.
Going to fade that out a little bit, but again, that was Suzanne Hagger, and she's here on my show, Danny Chicago's Blues Garage on Orange 94.0, the show that turns Radio Orange into Radio Jazz. Usually I say blues, okay. But yeah. Anyway, very lovely song, and like the vibraphone thing that was going on there. Who was that?
She's called Lucy Landy Moore, and she's really cool percussionist and vibraphonist.
Okay.
Is that how you say it? Yeah.
I don't know how to say it. Vibraphonist sounds right.
Vibraphone player.
Yes. Okay. The vibraphoner or whatever, something like that.
I just
that.
Think vibraphone is a really cool instrument.
It is. Yeah. And you don't see that a lot, you know.
You see it sometimes in jazz, but
yeah,
rarely.
I mean it's a very common thing, but you don't see it live very often.
No,
at
I guess it's also
stuff.
Quite hard to for the people who don't know what it looks like. It looks like a massive xylophone, doesn't it? Like a much bigger one. It's like a
yeah. Well, anyway, that was a second track we played from Suzanne's new CD called Magic. And the subtitle is something very philosophical like, what is it?
What is life without the unexplainable?
What is life without the unexplainable? Oh, my God.
That is also the title of one of the songs.
Oh, it's one of the songs.
I shortened it to Magic, What is Life? But yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to have to play that song because maybe that will answer the question, what is life?
Maybe.
Which everybody, do you have the answer to what is life? Do you have a...
Yeah, the answer is life is not the same without the unexplainable things. It's more an open question.
Okay,
you know?
It makes life more interesting when there's a lot of things you don't know.
Yeah, not just, you don't know and you're not sure how to explain. You just feel them.
Okay.
That's what you just have a feeling and you don't know where it comes from.
Okay.
But, or something happens and you just feel like that's fate or that's a sign or whatever. And these things just make life worth living for me.
Okay. Wow. It's very interesting. So let's go back to your initiative for female empowerment for a minute. And can you kind of summarize what you think the scene is in, let's just take Vienna, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's not do it worldwide, but just in Vienna, do you think that it's harder for women to get gigs or to sell CDs or...
Well,
let's put it
this way, right? When it's like an all-female band sometimes, I also have an other projects with all-female musicians. It's usually always like the comments sometimes are like, oh, you're a bunch of women on stage, you know? Like, if it's
like
a bunch
it's weird.
Of, if it's a bunch of men on stage, nobody says that because it's the normal thing. Nobody says, oh, you're just men on stage. Nobody goes to a male band and says that.
Wow, it's an all-male band.
Yeah.
Next time I play with a band, I'm going to say, it's an all-male band.
Yeah, right?
People are going to say, yeah, so...
So it, that it shows me how important it is to show that more often, that it's just something normal that women can decide to work together in a band setting.
Yeah.
And it doesn't need to be just about the fact that they're women.
Yeah. Well, I guess we just, I mean, this is something that is, it just is, you know. For example, if I see a female drummer in a rock band, I'm you know, I will say, wow, that's cool. You know, it's,
yeah,
it's really cool because it's not normal. I don't mean normal, but, you know, it's not common.
Yet, I would say. Mm-hmm. It's definitely more, much more female musicians, like instrumentalists, than there were like 20 mm-hmm. years ago.
Really?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
And so I feel like it's changing slowly.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, yeah, I feel like sometimes we can get even better in connecting ourselves, like connecting with each other,
yeah,
networking. That was one of the reasons why I did my sessions,
mm-hmm.
Because I feel like men are often really good at that, like just kind of giving each other gigs and just kind of getting each other into projects.
All right. Yeah.
And I wouldn't say women are particularly worse at it, but I feel like we just weren't brought up that way, or I don't know, we didn't see it so much, or we were always more told to be good at what we do, like mm-hmm. be perfect, be good, be mm-hmm. a good girl, do the things right, not like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's different.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a different, it's cultural, you know, it's built into our culture, that kind of thing. So, but the CD is a great, you know, testament to, you know, you and to just female musicians in general. So let's play another song, and then I want to ask you a few other questions. So what song should we play now?
If you want to play Magic now, since we talked about it,
yeah,
or you want to play a German song. So far we played English songs. Up to you.
Let's do a German song.
Okay. So then maybe Das Bild, das es nicht gibt, because this is my most bluesy song, I would say, on the album.
And that's number 4, I think, right?
That is number 3.
Number 3. So this is the song called Magic.
No, Das Bild, das es nicht gibt.
Oh, Das Bild ist, yeah, whatever she said. All right, it's in German, and listen to that bass.
Nicht mal verraten, wie du so bist. Ich denk, ich könnt's nicht erraten, wie du so tickst. Ich seh dich immer nur in Ratten, das ist verzwickt. Ich denk, wir könnten da was starten, wenn du's auch willst. Bist du fröhlich oder still? Bist du mutig oder feig? Bist du auch mal so gewillt, dass ich dir was zeig? Bist du bockig oder stur? Gibst mir recht immer nur? Zeig mir doch mal, wie du so bist. Ich hab da so ein Bild von dir, es ist sensationell. In dem Bild bist du so lieb zu mir und weißt immer so schnell, was ich will und was ich brauch. Einfach so hast du's im Bauch, bin über beide Ohren in ein Bild. Gesellschaft elegant, hast du dich in was verrannt und dich auch schon mal verbrannt? Bist du initiativ oder ist's dir egal, ob schon was lief? Zeig mir doch mal, wie du so bist. Denn ich hab da so ein Bild. weiß es nicht gibt.
So, another one of the beautiful songs from Suzanne Hauger's new CD called Magic. And that one, she calls it her bluesy song. It's kind of, it does have a kind of a bluesy vibe to it. It's in German, and my limited German tells me that the song means the picture that isn't there.
Yeah, the picture that doesn't exist.
Picture that doesn't exist. Okay, I need a little explanation here. Okay.
Yeah. So it's also about a love story, as many songs are, a little bit. It's not really love, actually. It's more a flirt. You get to know somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You see them sometimes.
Yeah.
But you don't really get to the relationship level. You just kind of get to know each other. You flirt a little bit here and there. And then in that phase, you or many people like me develop a picture in the head of what an idea of what that person might be like.
Okay.
And what being in a relationship with that person might feel like, be like. And that picture usually has nothing to do with reality.
Okay.
It's your fantasy.
Yeah.
It's your ideal. Most of the times we obviously picture it nicer than it might be. So it's your idea of, you know, maybe that person's like this. So this song is about this, but also about just a lot of questions in the head of a person that gets to know somebody, but that person isn't too open. So that person doesn't sort of express a lot of feelings or doesn't really share a lot of their own story or emotions. And so you don't really know what to, you just know you have something going on with them, but you don't know.
So you're talking about getting men to explain their feelings? Good luck with that.
No, but not necessarily, but like, thing, you know, to kind of, to give something from yourself, like that you, that the woman can say, okay, that, that's the kind of guy you are like, like that's the kind of guy you are.
Okay.
But then at the beginning, oftentimes you don't know as a woman. You don't know. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this question. To write songs, a lot of them develop from relationships. Usually temporary relationships cause the worst problems, and then you got lots to write about. But my question is that you've been together with your boyfriend for 6 or 7 years, I think, now. So does it make it harder to write songs because you don't have any experiences with other relationships? You know,
probably,
I mean?
Actually. I never maybe thought about it that much, but probably. But, you know, I generally, as we said before, write songs when I'm feeling emotional, and I'm still feeling very emotional maybe about other subjects. So write songs when I'm frustrated or angry or sometimes happy. And those feelings don't disappear. Obviously, love is a strong force to write songs, but I feel like maybe it's also different phases in your life because you can't always be in sad relationships.
I know. Unfortunately, you know, for a songwriter.
Maybe you should, but.
Well, you know, you've got, like I say, a 7-year relationship and all that, and you should get a, you know, a happy song out of that, you know? It doesn't have to be a sad
song.
Well,
who knows? Maybe one of the happier songs is about him.
Oh. Ooh. Is it on the CD?
Yeah.
Oh, we have a, so we're going to have to play that. Don't tell me what it is yet. But it's a happy song about being in love with someone you really admire and love and blah, blah, blah. Right? Good. What's the name of it? I'm not going to play it yet, but which song?
No, it's a, it is actually the first song you played. It's It Could Be You.
Oh.
But that was the beginning of our relationship.
That was the beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But
see,
it,
now
it's
you can
about
write,
love feeling easy,
yes.
You know?
And so now you can write a new one called It Is You.
A new one that's called It Is You, yeah.
And then when you break up, you can say It Was You. I'm joking. I'm joking. Anyway, I wanted to ask you a little bit about this. We were talking earlier about the CD being produced years ago. And what happened that it took this long to finally bring it out into the world and release it?
Well, a lot of different things happened. Not all I'm going to go into now, but one of the things that happened was that I wasn't happy with the mastering. I don't know, people who aren't musicians probably don't know what we're talking about, which is completely fair enough. So basically when you record a CD or songs in general, you go through two stages of sort of technical production, or how would you call it?
Mm-hmm.
And one is mixing, which is basically how loud is everything, where is everything, and so on. And the second is the mastering, which is kind of polishing everything even more and also bringing out a certain sound, you know?
Right.
And for me, actually, it's interesting that you said that jazz is a feeling for you and blues is a feeling for you. It's the same for me. I approach it from a very emotional standpoint. For me, always listening to a lot of jazz and soul, what really catches me is the sound, that this warm sound, this intimate. And I had some obviously role models, and of course I didn't have the budget like them, but the role models where I'm like, you just listen to 2 seconds and the sound immediately catches you.
That's
like
what
this warm feeling. And that's obviously the music, but also just purely the technicality of the sound. That's
the
microphones they use, the mixing, the mastering, all of that, right? And so after the mastering, I realized I'm very far away from that sound, although I did tell the mastering engineer exactly what I wanted, but he didn't listen to me. He didn't listen to me at all. Typical also, I felt a little bit because I'm a woman, a little bit because I was unexperienced. It was my first album. It happens to a lot of women. I recently talked to a great singer. She told me very similar stories of not being taken seriously. And
was it somebody here in Vienna?
Yeah. I'm not going to say who.
You won't say her. Oh, that's okay. That's cool.
No, but it's not just her. It's different people I talk with about this subject. Anyway, we came to the point he just didn't want to have more work, and he just kind of did the mastering the way he would master his project, which was more the indie sound. He did a lot of indie projects, right?
Is this Phil
Conrad?
It's
very different. Sorry?
Was it Phil Conrad?
No.
That was somebody else.
This was somebody else. No, Phil saved the project.
Okay.
He did save the project.
All right.
Because he did remaster it in the end. Like, it took me a long time because I was like, everybody's like, we put so much work in it. This is done now. You should be happy. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't happy. And I knew it in my heart that we could create something so much more beautiful if the mastering was different.
Okay.
And so eventually time passed. I couldn't bring myself to release it. And then Phil actually remastered it. And he gained a lot of knowledge in that time because he was just starting a studio, and he was also he also improved. We all learned a lot through this project, and you all learn all the time.
Yeah, he's a good guy, so very, very knowledgeable.
He's a very good guy. Yeah. And he knew the project so well. He recorded all the other instruments. So we had one session in a bigger studio where we recorded the main band together at
the same
time.
Okay.
And then all the sort of special guests came later on in his small studio.
Yeah.
And he put so much time and effort into that project that he felt like the right person to do the mastering because he understood what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And he took it seriously. And then I was so happy I did that because everybody said to me, don't do it, just release it. But I was so happy I did that because now I'm a million times more happy with the sound.
You did the right thing, really.
Yeah.
And it must have been hard with all that work, and it's ready to go, and you're like, just release it. But you stuck to your principles, and you said, no, it's not the way I want it to sound.
It took me a while. It took me a while because I thought maybe they're right. Maybe he's right, the engineer. But in the end, you have to trust your own gut.
That's exactly that's exactly it. I have some experience with producing my CD, but you learn a lot. But the thing is...
Yeah.
Sometimes you hear it so much, you don't hear it anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just, like, you can't that hear is, it objectively anymore.
That is
so
maybe also why
it.
I needed time to pass, because I heard it all the time.
Yeah.
That is, yeah.
Yeah, and you had to get away from it and then listen to it again later, which I think is a really good thing to do, I guess, just about on any project you could imagine. But we're here on Danny Chicago's Blues Garage on Orange 94.0. My guest is Suzanne Hager, a wonderful, beautiful singer here in Vienna. She does jazz. She just released her new CD called Magic, and we're playing some cuts from that. And so we still have some time. I think maybe we should play another song.
Yeah.
And I'm going to let you choose.
Maybe what could have been, because we just talked about what could have been if everything went right.
Okay.
It's the second song.
Very, very philosophical titles here. even the album has a philosophical title. And this is called again?
What could have been?
What could have been?
I'm doubting myself and everything I've done. I'm trying to tell what could have gone wrong with you by my side. Would everything be bright? Me not alone. Would everything go right? I'm doubting my path and all the choices made. Where I'd be today if I didn't start so late to put trust in myself and believe in what I do. Is it now too late? Will I see me through? My grief is not for you. My pain is not what you do. My sadness goes so long. I had to put down a song. What could have been? My mourning is about that. What could have been? I'm trying to get past that. What could have been?
Right. That was definitely much more upbeat than some of the other ones.
Yeah.
In terms of just feeling and vibe and danceable and kind of a much more more energy, you know what I mean? A different kind of energy. But yeah, that was really good. I love the horn section. Who played horns on that?
It actually was just one trumpet player who just did several, who played several different trumpets.
That's cool.
Yeah, and he's called Dominic Fuss.
Okay, I don't think I know him. But anyway, wow, it's really, really good. So we don't have a lot of time left, but I want to give you a chance to promote. I think you have a concert coming up soon.
Yeah, at the end of this month, unfortunately, it's not in Vienna, but if you are living in Upper Austria or visiting Upper Austria, the last Saturday of September, I believe it's the 27th.
Okay.
I'm really bad with dates. we are playing Irrseeklänge, which is on the beautiful, which is going to be a living room concert. It's going to be a very special atmosphere.
Nice.
In a house with a lake view, and it's a really beautiful area of Austria.
Mm-hmm.
Nice lake. They're going to open up the terrace if there's nice weather. So, if you are somewhere around there, come along.
Yeah.
I'm playing with a female, which I shouldn't have to say, but I'm still saying it, female guitarist who's great, Beate Reiermann. I don't know if you know her. She's really fantastic.
Yeah.
She plays with the Viennese Ladies, for instance.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Then I do know her because I know I had the Viennese Ladies on my show once.
Oh, right.
And their guitarist is really awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So it's just you singing and guitar.
Yeah. It's going to be these songs, but in a super intimate sort of acoustic style.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So now the other thing is in terms of promoting, like people are interested in listening to you. Do you have a website or some YouTube videos out there or links?
So basically you can listen to the first six songs, which is basically covering what we did now, on Spotify, Apple Music, all streaming platforms.
Uh-huh.
You just have to type in Suzanne Hager.
Right.
I already got 58,000 streams. I'm super happy about that.
58,000 streams? Whoa. That's a lot of streams.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So obviously you're on Spotify. Just type in Suzanne
Hager, H-A-G-E-R, Suzanne with double N-E.
Mm-hmm.
And also Apple Music, Amazon, all the streaming platforms.
Okay.
Also, I have a website, SuzanneHager.com.
Okay.
You can check that also for sometimes I put the concert dates or mm-hmm. other stuff or when there's a new release.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you want to hear all my songs, you can buy the CD. You can buy it directly through me. You just can write to me on social media or via my website.
Okay.
And because, it's at the moment just through me.
Okay. Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, do you have any other concerts? I know you have this one in Upper Austria, but if people want to come and hear you live,
I'm in the process of organizing a little release tour, but I can't say the dates yet because I'm still in organizing mode.
Okay,
It definitely will be posted soonish.
Mm-hmm.
So check my social media channels and
Well, we're almost out of time, but it's great to see you again and to see
you
how
too.
Far you've come and
Thanks
to see
for the
how
invite.
Much how much you accomplished by doing this CD. You must have had to overcome a lot of things and learn a lot of new things and find your strength to do it and figure things out. So it's just a compliment to you that you did all this yourself. That's amazing, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, as an all independent artist can relate.
Yeah.
But it's also very beautiful work. Sometimes it's very frustrating. Sometimes it's very beautiful.
Yeah, but that's what makes it. they call it a labor of love. It's hard work, but you love it so much that it's not work. You know what I mean? It's because you just love to do it. So anyway, I want to say thank you so much. We're going to play one more song. And probably have to fade it out because of the time. And it's going to be the title song, Magic.
Hmm.
And the subtitle,
What is Life? So the song subtitle is What is Life? But the album subtitle is What is Life Without the Unexplainable?
What is Life Without the That's unexplainable. So, you know, it's anyway. Again, thank you so much. We're going to start
the song. Thank
you so
much for inviting me.
And I think that's number 4, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Number 4. Okay, so we'll start this up. And this is Suzanne Hager. Magic.
Magic